I wonder this morning if you are a person who likes to plan ahead. Are you someone who is organised, or are you more spontaneous? Do you plan to take the picnic with you, or do you wait and see what you'll find when you get there? Do you plan in advance how you're going to spend a day off or a holiday, or do you see how you feel? Do you make a note of when things have to happen, or do you wait for the reminder to come up in your phone notifications? Are you someone who looks to the future, or are you someone that tends to look to the past? How good are we this morning at living in the present? On this Remembrance Sunday, a day in which we look to the sacrifices of the past, we pause and we ponder the blood that has been shed in the pursuit of peace, and where we grieve for the conflicts and the lack of peace in our world. How are we as Christians to think to the future in order to shape how we live today? In a world of chaos, of waiting, of COVID, of conflict, of injustice and uncertainty, how are we as Christians to hold on to faith and hope today? How do we keep looking forward, upward, outward in an uncertain world? But by following the faithful and constant God into a world of unrest, bloodshed and injustice. What is the call of God for our lives, for those who seek to follow him today? What are the promises of Scripture we might want to find refuge in this morning? What's the heartbeat of hope and the reassurance God has to offer to us in our hurting, divided world? Today we are back in the book of 1 Thessalonians after our gap last week. Paul is writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica. Now, if you remember with me, Paul had only spent a few short weeks there. He'd been driven out by opposition and riots. But here he is writing from a couple of hundred kilometres up the road in Corinth to encourage and equip this young church. Now, over the past few weeks, we've seen Paul remind the Thessalonians of his heart for them. 2 weeks ago, Paul was writing to speak out against the false teachers, the schemers who had come into the church to attack Paul's character and to confuse the early church with false teaching. Paul had been reflecting back on encouraging reports he had heard from the church, from Timothy. He'd heard how they love each other, how they're keeping going despite the opposition they are facing. Paul had a continued prayer for the church, and it was that their love for God and their love for one another would continue to abound, that they might live holy and righteous lives before the Lord. Time and time again in this letter, Paul had reminded them of the need to strive for purity, to live differently from those around them so as to honour God with every fibre of their lives. And now today we land on this next passage with Paul writing in response to most probably a question about a situation that was greatly distressing the early church in Thessalonica. But it's a question that humans throughout history have wrestled with. It's a question that many today are still asking: what happens when we die? See, the early church were distressed. What will happen to our brothers and sisters that have died before Jesus has come back? Now, for the early church, they would never have imagined that 2,000 years later, we would still be here, this side of eternity, waiting for Jesus' return. But here we are. The early church expected Jesus to come back quickly, to put all things right, to end injustice, to end pain. But we are still waiting and watching for that day. But the early believers were worried. Will those who had already died miss out on the reunion with Jesus? Inspired and listening to the Greek philosophy of the time, they wondered, were their brothers and sisters lost forever to death? Paul wanted to encourage them, to remind them of the truths of the gospel, to remind them of the hope that they could know today and for every day since then, the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's jump into the passage together and see what God might want to encourage us with on this Remembrance Sunday. Look with me at the passage. Paul starts our section with a phrase he so often uses when he's about to explain some doctrine that has perhaps gone awry or that has caused confusion for the early church. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. Paul's saying, we want you to know the truth about what you believe. We want you to have confidence in what you have received from the apostles. Don't listen to what the world is saying or take on board what others are doing. We want you to be informed. What is the source of the confusion? Well, it's death. How were they to mourn as believers in Christ? How were they to hold on to the hope of the resurrection in a world of pain and sickness and death? Paul says, do not grieve as those who have no hope. Now, we've got to be really careful how we read verse 13. Paul is not saying, do not grieve. That would be inhumane. That would deny the pain of death that we all know, the sting of loss. But Paul is saying, rather, don't grieve as if there's no hope. Don't grieve as if death is the end. For in the Christ we worship, God defeats death. As Christians, we believe in the resurrection. Life with Jesus is forever. Death is but temporal. It's not the end, it's a transition point, a temporary goodbye in the light of eternity with God forever. It hurts, yes, but it's not the end of the story. For we believe that those who die in Christ rest in his arms, awaiting the heavenly banquet where one day all will be with Jesus forever, for all of eternity. Note with me Paul's use of the word sleep for those who have died. As those who sleep soon arise from their slumber, so death is followed by resurrection. It's temporary. We rest in the arms of Jesus. Throughout the New Testament, Paul will use this metaphor of sleep to describe believers who have died. But note who he doesn't use it for in verse 14. Whilst believers sleep, Christ died, so that those who temporarily sleep may rise and live with him forever. What is our hope in a world of grief and death? Christ will come again. Christ died and rose again so that we might know death is not the end but a transition. Death holds no power over God. Death is to the world a great divider. We feel and mourn the separation, the passing of loved ones. And this year there has been much to grieve. Few of us are unaffected by the passing of loved ones. We have wept and mourned. But in the Christ we worship, he is the great reconciler. What is our hope, our comfort in the face of death? Scripture declares we will see our loved ones again. Paul's argument is this: we can trust God with the future because of what he has done in the past at the cross of Christ, in the tomb which lay gloriously empty, in the face of bloodshed, in the face of grief. We put our hope and trust in the God who conquers death, who has promised to come back and put everything right. For, Paul says in verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry, the dead will rise, and in a beautiful, beautiful promise of scripture, let's not miss out on it in verse 17 because of all the other questions coming up in this passage. Paul says, we will always be with the Lord. Christ will come with a cry of command. And what might that be? Perhaps the King of Kings will raise his pierced hands that speak of sacrifice and victory and surrender. and shout, no more. No more bloodshed, no more loneliness, no more tears, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more injustice, no more pain, no more death. Jesus promises that one day soon the end will come. We will behold our Saviour and we will be with him forever. I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for that today. The day is coming. Jesus reigns. The King is still on the throne. One day we will be with him, not just forever in eternity, but today we can know the promises of Scripture. The heartbeat of hope. The promise of the presence of God with us. How do we live in light of the future today? How do we get ready for this great banquet? Well, Jesus has a story full of warnings to tell us. Let those who have ears hear today. Because Jesus is telling a parable about the night of a wedding feast. There's 10 bridesmaids waiting for the groom to come to the wedding reception. Now, as part of the culture of the day, there was this kind of fun theatrical wait for his arrival. That was to be expected. It was part of the wedding game. Now, part of the fun was that you had to be there when the groom arrived, and when for once the groom came, the door would be shut, and if you weren't there at the right time, you'd miss out. Not just on a meal, but for a whole week of celebrations. You had to be prepared to wait for hours and to bring provisions to allow you to be ready to meet the groom. However, in Jesus' story, there are 10 bridesmaids, but not all of them have come prepared. They're all in the right place, but not all are prepared to wait it out for the groom in changing circumstances. See, some have anticipated the wait might be longer than expected, and that it might get dark before the guest of honour arrives. Now, Jesus says the groom is delayed, and those waiting grow tired and fall asleep. It also becomes dark. Now, all of a sudden, there's a cry that the groom is on his way, and the bridesmaids begin to get their lamps ready to light his path, but only half the bridesmaids have brought spare oil. Others have already used up the supply. In their sleeping, they failed to notice they were running out. Those without oil, known as the foolish, ask to use the spare oil that other bridesmaids have brought, but those who have thought ahead say no. The foolish ones, the ones who weren't prepared, suddenly have a mad panic. They need to go on a pre-lockdown panic buying search for oil. They run to the shops, and whilst they are away, the groom arrives. Those who are waiting his arrival go into the banquet. The door is forever shut. The foolish bridesmaids bang on the door. They seek entry to the party, but because they were not prepared or ready to greet the groom when he arrived, they are left outside. What might Jesus have to teach us today about how to get ready for his coming back? What might Jesus want to challenge us with? Well, in some ways it's obvious we've got to get prepared. If Jesus comes back today, are you ready or are you sleeping? Are you waiting and watching with the right things aligned? See, it's possible to be in the right place, but then to get distracted by circumstances, caught out by the lack of forward planning. All the bridesmaids were there initially, but they hadn't all planned ahead. Maybe the foolish bridesmaids thought they wouldn't need the oil. They trusted in their own knowledge of the timing, or thought that perhaps they'd ride on someone else's preparation. Maybe they thought the groom would come in the daytime when everything was light and they were coasting along, just enjoying the moment they were in, with no thoughts or care for the future. They weren't prepared for the night, the difficult times, and they were found wanting. They had on the outside what they needed. They'd come with lamps, they looked the part, but at night, lamps without oil are useless. Do we look the part on the outside? Do we have the right phrases, know the Bible verses, yet beneath the surface might we be found wanting? How's your walk with Jesus going? Are you growing? Or are you happy with how things are? Are you happy with how together we have our faith on the outside without putting in the work behind the scenes? I wonder also if there's a danger for all of us that we trust our future to someone else's preparations or resources. Do we take control of our own walk with Jesus? Do we put in the hours in the secret place? Or are we looking to someone else's oil for our salvation? Are we riding on the wings of someone else's faith? Maybe growing up in the Christian home, but then yet never stepping into it on our own. Do we know the right words to pray with our mouths, but not in our hearts? Can we drop a Bible verse for every occasion, but are we reluctant to serve Christ with our lives or our money? There are some things you cannot borrow. The wise bridesmaids didn't share their oil with the foolish. You need your own faith in Jesus. You need your own pursuit of holiness to sustain you in the nighttime hours. When life is difficult, you can't trade it in on anyone else. There's no plus ones into the kingdom of God. The foolish bridesmaids were not prepared. They were so close, but their lack of preparation let them down. They missed the arrival of the groom. They were shut out of the party eternally. Don't be too late when Jesus comes. Preparation is key. Are you ready? Paul tells us we will live forever with Jesus. But are we living today, getting ready for the day when Christ returns? What might we want to focus on this morning? What's our hope in the midst of uncertain, changing times? Well, firstly, do we all need some encouragement? And I think we all do, in a seemingly chaotic and hopeless world. Paul says in his letter to the Thessalonians that they should encourage one another with the reminder that death is not the end, that Christ has triumphed over death, that one day he is coming back to put all things right. In days when life is difficult, when news of illness comes, when the world is gripped in a global pandemic, when we stop and remember the hours of war and bloodshed, we are to encourage one another with the reminder of the promises of Scripture. God is still on the throne. Those who die are not lost. In the midst of grief, there is the hope of the resurrection. One day Jesus Christ is coming again. Death and pain will end. We will be with God forever. This is the source of our hope. We are not on our own. We don't float through an endless sea of chaos and heartache, but instead we know the Lord, our refuge, our help in ages past. Now, it does not mean we are immune from pain or sorrow or conflict or sickness, but it does mean that Christ holds the final word. Not our circumstances, regardless of how difficult or loud they shout to you today. We are not like those without hope. We stand on the solid ground of Christ, anchored to the promises of Scripture, held in the arms of Jesus. Our job? To declare wherever we are, whatever way we can, that death does not win. COVID or cancer or whatever illness you fight does not have the final say. Hope can be known, and his name is Jesus. Paul told the Thessalonians to remind each other, to encourage each other. Who will you encourage in their faith today? Whose burden will you ease by reminding them that God who sits on the throne is working in your situation today? Secondly, will we consider how we wait well as followers of Jesus? Will we look to our hope in the future to shape our lives today? You've heard me say it before, but there's so much more to Christianity than just a get out of jail card when you die. Yes, in Jesus, the eternity is secure, but the gifts of his presence are available today and every day to come. Yes, our world is broken. Yes, life is difficult, but God is with us. We don't have to wait till we die to know God is with us forever. In the midst of anxiety, we pray for peace. When the world is dark, we pray for God's light. When we don't know what to do or who to trust, we come back to Scripture and seek God's guidance. When the world is crippled by fear, injustice, bloodshed, we join in with God's rescue plan for the world. We speak out, we pray against, we share of a different way, a way of hope, a way of peace, a way of truth, a way of reconciliation, a way of love. So how will you choose to live? Will you get ready for Christ's return? Will you get fed up waiting and fall asleep? Will you get your things in order? Will you work on your relationship with Jesus, or will you coast along on your quest for holiness? Will you look to the oil of others and fail to prepare to let your light shine today and tomorrow and every day that God blesses you with? The lamps held by all the bridesmaids look good, but only half of the lamps were fit for purpose. Five had run dry. How's your oil today? How's your faith? Are you running on empty? Do you need to be refilled again by God? Why not ask him this morning for more of his peace or his hope or his joy? Because he wants to refill us. When we ask, he gives. Do you want to be topped up in your oil this day? Have you noticed your faith is running low? Don't wait till it's too late to come back before your Heavenly Father this morning. Ask for more of him, because he never lets us down. Jesus is coming back. Death and destruction, conflict and wars do not get the final say. We mourn and we grieve for the losses of this world, the sacrifices given by many for our todays. But even in the struggles, we have hope. God wins. We will be with him forever. Death is not the end. Are you living today in the reality of the future? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you shining his light into the darkness of the world around us? Are you prepared to spend all of eternity with Jesus? Don't wait till it's too late. Put your hope and trust in him today, that we might live forever in the assurance of his grace, his hope, and his peace. Are you in today? We will spend forever with the Lord, said Paul. Are you ready to start forever today?